Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to another class for the Thames Valley Churches of Christ in August 2024, and it's part two of our new series called A New Challenge. Now, so far this year, we've had the themes of A New Thing, God's doing a new thing, followed by the series A New Creation. If God's going to do a new thing, he's going to do it through us, and we are made new as a new creation. We've looked at that. Now we're exploring the theme of A New Challenge. And I wonder whether you feel you are facing a new challenge, or perhaps your group is. Certainly, I think Thames Valley is facing a new challenge, a very good one, but a new chapter. And every new chapter in the life of a church is a new challenge. Now, what is that new challenge? And what might it be for you personally and your local group, not just the church as a whole? It's a good question, isn't it? And I think it's important that we reflect on how to recognize a new challenge, that it is from God. So today we're going to explore how to do that, how to recognize a new challenge from God when it appears, and hopefully also how to respond. So to do that, we're going to look at some types of challenges we find in the New Testament. We're going to briefly survey seven examples of new challenges for the early church in the book of Acts. The early church and its members regularly faced new challenges and had to recognize whether they were from God and how to respond. So we're not going to go into any of these particular incidents in great depth in this class, otherwise it'll be very long. But I'm going to give you a summary and a bit of an overview, and you are welcome to pause the video or the audio recording at any point and just double check my scriptures or look at them in context, what's happening before and after. Or perhaps take each one of these seven examples one by one, look at one, pause, then look at another, then pause as you wish in your local group. So seven examples. And we're going to begin at the beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, with the first situation that the early church find itself in regarding a leadership issue. They are down one apostle, aren't they, after Judas has died. And so Peter feels the need to respond to that. They have a leadership challenge. They have one leader missing in a context where they sense that God doesn't want that to be a situation. So what do they do? They interpret this new challenge. I mean, they're going to replace an apostle. They've never done this before. It's a new challenge for them. They interpret it, I think, as a sign to honor God's word. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 20, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it. And let another take his position as overseer." Let another take his position. Acts 1:20. They see the relevance of that scripture. They look into scripture for an answer to this new leadership challenge. They find Matthias is the one who is approved of, chosen, selected. And what's the result? Interestingly, in verse 24, it says they prayed. And they said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you've chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." What do they recognize here? They recognize they don't know the heart. God does. So they look into the word for a solution, and then they pray. They make no assumptions. They're not looking at, say, the difference in the skill set between Joseph and Matthias. They're looking for God to reveal the heart. Very helpful way that they process that. Is there something there that would help you? If you have currently, let's say, a leadership deficit, there always seems to be a need for more leaders. Is there a leadership deficit in your group? How will that be filled? Are you asking God to reveal the right person for the right role? That's the first example of a new challenge. The second, a little later, in Acts chapter 6, the new challenge there is the first challenge regarding potential division. Again, without going into the detail, you probably will remember that there is a problem between the Jewish and Greek widows. In chapter 6, verse 1, number of disciples were increasing in number. The Hellenists, that's the Greek-speaking people, complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. Potential division between two groups of Christians within the church in Jerusalem. A new challenge. They've not had this issue before. They figure it out, but how do they figure it out? They figure it out by engaging the community in the solution. That's what they do. They see it as an opportunity to heal division by restoring community harmony, by involving the community. The apostles get other people involved. And the result of that is, in verse 7, the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests became obedient to the faith. Tremendous result. So the question I might ask you, do you have a new challenge regarding a community division? Is there a division in your group, whether on the surface or underneath? Divisions can come because of doctrinal issues, because of disputable matters, because of relationship challenges, because of cultural issues. I don't know your group. And perhaps you don't have this challenge right now, although at some point you certainly will, because there's always the challenge of division at some point in our faith group life. But nonetheless, if you have that kind of challenge, that new challenge, can you involve the whole community in some sense in healing the division? That's our second example. Our third example, quite harrowing really, it's Acts chapter 8. Stephen, of course, is martyred. And one of the consequences of that is that the early church in Jerusalem are scattered widely. A severe persecution begins against the church. All except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. And then it says in verse 4, those who were scattered went from place to place proclaiming the word. They had a persecution challenge, or you might say an opposition challenge. How did they interpret that? How did they, in experiencing that and the scattering, how did the early church interpret that? They interpreted that as a sign to preach the word. Now, to us, that's kind of obvious because we can see it there. That's what they did. But at the time, they surely had other ways of responding to that new challenge. They might have interpreted that challenge to be, well, let's keep quiet then. This has got us in trouble. We should be quiet. Or they could have interpreted it as, well, we've been scattered, but we should quickly coalesce. Let's all come back to Jerusalem as quickly as possible. If we can't go there, let's all go to Samaria or some other place. They didn't do that. They interpreted their new challenge of scattering as, we will continue to preach the word. God is giving us an opportunity to preach all of these places. And as a result, what's the result? The gospel spreads to Samaria and beyond, and large numbers of people are converted. Even in Cyprus and Antioch, Acts chapter 11, verse 19, those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking to the Jews. So they converted a lot of people. That's how they interpreted that new challenge. So my question to you and your group might be, are you facing opposition at the moment in some way? Are you facing opposition? And what would happen if you saw the challenge of that opposition as an opportunity, not something to kind of get around or solve or fix? What if the opposition is at the same time the opportunity? That's another thing to think about when you're faced with that kind of challenge. Our next new challenge situation is Acts 10 and 11, where Peter goes to speak to Cornelius and preach the word to him and his household. Again, I'm not going to tell the whole story now. Most of you will probably know it well, but have a look in Acts 10 and 11 if you don't. And this is a challenge of acceptance of the Gentiles, part one. We've got a couple of these. And this is a crossing barriers challenge. Peter doesn't want to go to Cornelius's house, the house of a non-Jew, but the Holy Spirit tells him to do that. And he interprets this whole situation, this new challenge of doing something that he had never done before, no one had ever done before, as a work of the Spirit. Acts 11, verse 12. He says to the assembled disciples who are questioning his actions, the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. So we went to the house. That's how he interprets it. And as a result, what happens after all this, not only are Cornelius and his family or whoever is in his house are converted, but also the Jewish Christians. In Acts 11, verse 18, it says, when they heard this, they were silenced and they praised God. I love that. Silenced. Oh, let's praise God. They praised God, saying, then God has given even the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Fantastic. So my question regarding this new challenge is whether we are aware of our entrenched ideas about how to fulfill Jesus' mission. Peter, before this incident, was assuming that he would just go to Jews. but he is sent by the Spirit to Gentiles, a location and a people in a way that he did not think was right for the mission. Yet God reshaped his thinking on the evangelistic side of the mission. It's more than evangelism to the mission, but we're just talking about that at the moment, that angle on it or that part of it. How do you think about the evangelistic side of the mission for your group? Do you have an entrenched view, an entrenched new view or an entrenched old view, but a view that's very narrow? Is it possible that the new challenge before you is to figure out, to experiment with different ways of reaching out to the lost around us? I'll leave that with you to pray about and contemplate. So our next new challenge is also in Acts chapter 11, and it's the Gentiles part two. And this is later on in the chapter when we are located in Antioch. And what's happening in Antioch is that for the first time, Jewish Christians are going to talk to Gentiles about becoming a Christian. Now, we did see it with an individual with Cornelius earlier, but this is the first time it's happened sort of en masse. So this is a whole new challenge, a whole new thing. And part of the challenge is that they're doing it, but part of the challenge is that other Christians elsewhere don't understand what's going on. And so the church in Jerusalem chooses Barnabas and sends him to Antioch to figure out what's going on. And in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, it says that when he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. Isn't that wonderful? Barnabas is sent to check on what's going on, and he sees evidence of the grace of God and inspires them to, and encourages them to carry on. It says in verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And as a result of this, a great many people were brought to the Lord. A great many people. So here's the new challenge thing here. It's partly that they're reaching out to Gentiles, but it's partly that it creates a sense of confusion and anxiety amongst other Christians. And sometimes that can be a challenge for us, that what we're doing or other people are doing causes confusion or anxiety. Are you facing confusion or anxiety in your group? So what would happen if you invited someone with experience and wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, to explore the challenge with you? They sent in Barnabas, but they welcomed him as someone who could sort of make sense of the situation. Sometimes if we're going to understand a new challenge from God, we need other people to come in and help us, maybe from outside our group. Is that something you need right now to manage a new challenge that you have? Now, the next challenge, the new challenge, is Acts 13, two chapters further on, and we are again in Antioch. And I see this as a sending new challenge, and partly perhaps a what's next new challenge. Like sometimes in our groups, we can feel a bit becalmed, perhaps a little bit stuck. We're in our routines, but is God really going to do things here? And then the question is really, well, what's next? How do we work out what's next? Perhaps the challenge is, what does God want us to focus on next? Perhaps it's not clear. And I think, I can't prove it, but I think this is what's happening in Antioch when they're worshiping and praying. Because at the beginning of chapter 13, they've got these people together and it says they're worshiping the Lord and fasting. That's all they're doing. It doesn't say what they're doing it for. It doesn't say that they have a particular question to answer or they've got an idea about sending people on a mission team. It doesn't say that. It just says they're worshiping the Lord and fasting. And then it says, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Again, still at this point, it doesn't say what that work is. It just says, set them apart. Then what do they do? Verse 3, fast and pray some more. Then they lay hands on them. Oh, and then they send them off. So at some point in this process, God has made it clear what this new work is that he has called Barnabas and Saul to. So wonderful things happen when we worship and we fast. We may not know what God wants for us, but if we worship and fast, will he not make it clear? So my question to you and your group is, are you unsure of what God wants from you next? Is that your challenge that you don't know? So what would happen if you devoted yourselves to worship and fasting? Less talking, less planning, less doing on some level, more worship, more fasting, and then listen and watch for what God reveals. It's a thought, isn't it? And our final one, Our final new challenge is Acts 15, two more chapters on, and we are Antioch connected to Jerusalem here in chapter 15. And it's the council in Jerusalem. And this is the new challenge of how to figure out a very sensitive issue. And that issue is, should Gentiles be circumcised in order to be a Christian? This is a global church harmony challenge. This is not just within a local group. Global church harmony challenge. And what do they do? When they have a conference together in Jerusalem, how do they interpret this global church harmony challenge? They interpret it, I believe, as a sign to research God's word for help. When you look at verses 16 and 17 of chapter 15, you notice that Simeon, James talks about the fact that he's been thinking about the relevance of Amos chapter 9 and Isaiah 45 to the situation. James quotes some of that there. And in chapter 15, verse 15, he says, this agrees with the words of the prophets as it is written, quoting those other Old Testament passages. He sees that they need to look into the word of God. They resolve it. They come up with a good solution that honors God, fits with the scriptures and the situation and the context of the challenge of the circumcision question. And then they write a letter. They send it off. They take the letter back to Antioch, verses 30 and 31. And what's the result? And they went down to Antioch. They gathered the congregation together. They delivered the letter. When they read it, they rejoiced at the exhortation. There was rejoicing. There was relief. There was excitement. We've had a new challenge. God has shown us the way through it. How wonderful. So my question for you is, are you facing a relationship challenge with another person or another group within Thames Valley or even outside? And what would happen then if you're going to see a way through this new challenge? What would happen if you looked into God's word for guidance as to how to handle it rather than just human wisdom or your own experience? So let me wrap up with a couple of thoughts and a final reflection. So in this very brief survey, we've seen that the early church faced many challenges, a lot more than are recorded, of course. And we are very fortunate the Holy Spirit recorded how the church recognized and responded to those challenges. And we can also observe that the challenges faced by the church, though they were challenging, they were no barrier to joy. They were no barrier to effectiveness. They were no barrier to the conversion of many. And they were no barrier to the spread of the good news. In fact, these new challenges that the church faced enabled all of those things to happen. Joy, the conversion of many, and the spread of the good news. So that means what? It means that we must embrace the new challenges, not fight them, not try to find a way around them, but embrace them. Recognize that they're from God, or at least allowed by God. Find his way of dealing with them, and let's see what God does. You see, one of the signature qualities of a Christ-focused faith is that we see that nothing is impossible. Easy to say, right? But what did Jesus say in Matthew 17, verse 20? He said, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And I think he's referring to this period in particular, the time after he had left. That's when nothing will be impossible. In other words, all of these challenges are things that you can handle and that will advance the kingdom. So there may be mountains in your way, in your group's way, but they are movable by faith. So just to reflect, some questions you could consider in your groups. Firstly, what is your current mountain challenge personally? And what is your current mountain challenge as a group, moving a mountain? What is it for your group? Thirdly, what is the best way to respond to that mountain challenge? Perhaps you can take some inspiration from our brothers and sisters in the book of Acts, but what would be the faithful way to respond to these mountain-type challenges? And finally, having looked at that, what's your first step in responding to the mountain challenge? Maybe it's not like you get it sorted out all at once, but there's at least a first step to take. What would that be? Well, I hope you find these thoughts helpful, and especially if you're facing a particular challenge right now. And if you're not, just hang on a while, and soon there will be a new challenge coming down the pipe, because that is how God draws us to close to him, and is how he helps us to grow in our faith and our trust in him, and ultimately becoming more like Jesus Christ. Let me know your thoughts on all these points. I hope they're helpful. Do let me know if you have any questions. Next time, we'll go on to look at another aspect of having a new challenge. Until then, take care and God bless.